Lord, we're thankful that we gather together, and as Don said, we're very reminded of the fact that when we gather together here, there's not really a fear of anything happening to us. Maybe we should. Maybe we should fear coming into your presence, Lord, because it says you're a consuming fire, a holy fire, and Lord, maybe many of us come in too trite and not really prepared to meet with you, but Lord, we don't fear any type of death at the hands of those who would seek us wrong, whereas our brothers and sisters are persecuted daily. So Lord, we do pray for them, and we know, Lord, that their faith is real and it's deep, and Lord, we ask that you would strengthen them in the midst of their trials. And Lord, as things in this nation get more challenging and difficult, Lord, that we would learn from our brothers and sisters around the world who've endured many decades and centuries of oppressive governments and people who have repressed the gospel. And Lord, that we would see, regardless of what men do, the kingdom of hell will not prevail. And Lord, your gospel still spreads. And so, Lord, that would bring us encouragement and hope. But we do lift up them today, even as we gather in this place. Lord, we're asking that your word, which is living and active, would impact each of us today. Lord, we don't want to be hypocritical believers. We don't want to be people who rob Jesus of his glory. We don't want to be people who, when people see us, they're pushed away from Jesus. But instead, Lord, we're asking that when people would see us, when people would hear us, that they would want to know about the hope that we have, the joy that's in us, and that we would be able to clearly communicate, because of Christ, we're different. And because of Christ, you can be different. Lord, would your word do that today in us, that we would be more like Jesus, having spent time in his presence. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, throughout the course of the life of this church, we set apart some special days where we kind of focus on practical matters. Like, you know, we have Mother's Day and you have Father's Day, right? So generally speaking, we do a Mother's Day sermon and a Father's Day sermon. And it's kind of not necessarily a super narrow audience, but I recognize I'm speaking to one gender or another at times, right? Sometimes we do Memorial Day services or Veterans Day services where we celebrate freedom and Christ and those sorts of things. And over the last couple of years, we've used the Sunday before school starts as an opportunity to encourage, remind, pray for, instruct our students and our teachers and our parents. And so this morning, again, what we want to do is take some time to set the tone for tomorrow, because maybe some of you don't know because you don't have children, but tomorrow's first day of school. And so many of the children in our community, many of the children that were playing the bells and families in this church, their schedules will be changed tomorrow. So we want to take some time and deal with this issue of a back-to-school checklist. Is your faith ready? Now, my challenge this morning is I'm going to try to walk through some principles while still using Proverbs. So what are some Proverbs? What are some things we find in Proverbs that are applicable in the context of school? Parents. Okay, some of you are parents in here this morning. Maybe your kids are in another classroom and they're not going to be here, right? Listen to what we talk about and talk with them about these things. Okay, maybe some of you are students, some of you are teachers. Consider how these principles can impact your life this year in school in such a way that it honors the Lord. That really is what you want, right? You want your life to honor the Lord this year. But in the big picture, I would say what we're going to see from Proverbs and some of these other scriptures really does apply whether you're a doctor or whether you work in an air conditioner or a plumbing place, or whether you're retired, right? I mean, these things are just practical wisdom that if we put into our lives, God would be honored and we would be more like Christ to our community. So with that said, let me invite you, if you want to take some notes in your bulletin, you can write, there's some open space, you can write down some notes and consider these thoughts, ideas as we consider going back to school. Number one, the most important thing for you to address in your life before you go back tomorrow, before your children go back, is to know whether you're truly saved. Making sure that you're truly saved. No matter what else I say, it doesn't really matter if you don't have this one right. Throughout the rest of the school year, teachers are going to give exams, and if students don't know in their heart of hearts the right answer to this question, it doesn't matter if they're gifted, it doesn't matter if they're on the honors list, the dean's list, if they make the principal's honor roll, whatever it is, because in the end, the most important quiz, exam, test, whatever you want to say is, who is Jesus to you? And it's really a question that every one of us must answer, right? Who do you say Jesus is? Is he just a common man? Is he a historical figure that really has been mythologized? Is he somebody that we're not really sure? Or do you believe in your heart of hearts that he is the Son of God, that in his life he obeyed all the commands of the law, fulfilling all righteousness, and that in his death, God was satisfied, as Romans says, he's just and the justifier of the wicked. And so that in Jesus' death, God says, I am satisfied, the payment for death has been fulfilled, and I'm going to give all who trust in my Son his righteousness. Is that what you're believing in? Is that what you're trusting in? Because if you're believing that you're safe with God because you come to this church, because you've done some kind of extracurricular activity at your school or in the community, or because you feel like I'm by and large a good person, you're probably not saved. And none of you want to hear that, but you need to hear that. Because we can fool ourselves. Our heart is deceptively wicked, and we fool even ourselves. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Every one of you today, whether you're going to school or not, you need to ask yourself, who do I believe that Jesus is? And if you're not trusting in him right now, not, oh, I said a prayer, or I walked an aisle, or I was baptized when I was in vacation Bible school when I was 7. Right now, are you trusting in Christ now? And I'm hammering at home because I want you to get, this is vital. Are you trusting in him now as your Savior? And if not, why not? Repent. And trust in Christ today. Nothing else you're doing in your life matters. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? How do you answer that question? Are you truly saved? I want you to think about it. I'm not just standing here. I want you to really think that. So let's press on. A second item would be this. If you're going to school tomorrow as a teacher or as a student, to put on the full armor every morning. Let me say this. Every day, whether you recognize it or not, you are engaging in a battle. When you wake up in the morning, you are engaging in a battle. It's a supernatural battle. It's a spiritual battle. You don't necessarily know that it's going on because we've kind of desensitized ourselves to it. But Ephesians chapter 6 says what? There is a spiritual battle to put on the full armor of God, to be able to stand firm, and after having stood, stand, be ready, right? And our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against things unseen. There are supernatural battles that you're going to engage tomorrow in your schools, tomorrow in your work environments, that if you're not putting on the full armor of God, you will be crushed. You'll be crushed. Let me give you some examples of the battles that you're going to encounter. You're going to battle a spiritual battle. There's going to be all kinds of temptations for students. There's going to be temptations to lie and to cheat. I've got to make certain grades because I want to get into certain classes, or I want to get into a certain magnet school, or I got to get into a really good higher education like FSU, right? I mean, I got to really do good things so that I can be really ahead, right? And so, right, Jill, you saw it. Others of you that have been academics, plagiarism and cheating and all that kind of stuff. The temptation's there, even for believers. The temptation to speak ill of other people. The temptation to be full of pride. To be arrogant. To be boastful. The temptation to be sexual. Parents, let me just say, if you're not talking to your kids about those issues, you need to, and there's different levels of appropriateness based on how old your children are, but look, they know more than you think they know. And those temptations are going to be real, and they're going to be out there. And if you're not fully clothed with the armor of God, you will be crushed. And the list goes on and on. But it's not just temptations in the spiritual battle. There's going to be an intellectual battle. There's going to be the battle between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom, right? Now, let me say this. There are some very good and godly educators in Palm Beach County, right? A lot of them go to this church. But there are also, in our education system, those who don't fear God, those who would mock God, those who have no concern for the fame and the holiness of His name, right? And they also are going to be engaging and encountering your children and your students on a daily basis, right? And they're going to teach things that we would say are contrary to what we believe as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, parents, it's vital for us to make sure that our children know God's Word is true. It's what we stand upon as a family church, right? So that when they're bombarded with the wisdom of the world, they're able to stand and stand firm. Because if they're not putting on the full armor of God, they're going to be bombarded. I mean, I've told you this, but many of you are new. I didn't go to FSU to be a religion major, but that's what I ended up being, right? And every day I went to class, I had to be ready mentally, because all I heard was stuff that was not true. And if I didn't know what I believed, I'd have been destroyed. And if your children don't know what they believe, and if you're not investing in them, look, it can't just be the church. We only get them a couple hours a week. But if you're not investing in them, you're not teaching them, you're not sharing your core values, and as Deuteronomy says, you're not sitting down with them and sharing with them the truths that are firm, they're going to be destroyed. There is an intellectual battle praying for our students to be able to stand and to stand firm for what they believe, regardless of what others think of them and regardless of who's saying it. Not buying in and not following the crowd when we know what God's Word says. There's going to be the relational battles. Who you associate with, who you date, how you speak to people, how you speak about people, right? All of these battles, every day, students are going to encounter. Teachers are going to encounter. Parents, you're going to encounter with your students in some way or another. And if you're not clothed with the armor of God, there will be much falling and struggling. Proverbs tells us in chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The most important thing your students can do as they clothe themselves is to fill their mind with the knowledge of God, because that will be their sword to help fight against all the things that they hear. The Bible is like a water filter, you know, the things you have that filters out all the impurities. Everything should be tested against Scripture. And the fear of the Lord and His holiness, and that I'm going to stand before Him and that He is the authority of my life, is going to help me as I battle the temptations of, you know, of the mind and of the relationships that they all will encounter, even more than any math or science or history fact that your student will encounter this year. Knowing and fearing the Lord is vital. So let me give you an action plan. Maybe some of you are doing this, but maybe many of you aren't. Tomorrow, regardless if you're going to school or you're going to another job, let me challenge you. before you walk out the door, spend some time in prayer and in reading God's word and saying, Lord, clothe me today with the armor, because I know when I walk out, I am going to engage in battle. Some of you will say, well, look, I'm not really a morning person, and I sleep, I don't have time. Look, make it a priority. Make it a priority. None of you in this room, I hope, would walk out and go to school or go to your job naked. Maybe, hopefully. All right. And I'm only half funny, because so many of us walk out spiritually naked every day. We spend lots of time in the morning, not me, but some, primping your hair, right? I mean, you get all ready physically, but you're not ready to truly engage the day. Teachers, students alike. And the amazing thing is, what's that old adage go? If it was good enough for so-and-so, it's good enough for me. If it was good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us, right? Every day it seems like in Scripture that Jesus got up in the morning while it was still dark and went off to a quiet place, and he did what? He prayed. He sought the Father. He clothed himself. He said, Lord, what is your will this day? That's why when Jesus was doing ministry, he was able to pass by some. Jesus didn't heal everybody he walked by. But there were some that he had divine encounters with. Right? Why? Because he knew the Father's will and the Father's purpose for him. But he also knew he was going to engage in spiritual battle that day. Don't you think? So he was preparing himself for what was coming that day. And if Jesus, the Son of God, was spending time with the Father before the day started so that he would be able to fight that day, who are we to think that we shouldn't do that? So parents, teachers, students, the challenge is, do what it takes to not walk out of our house spiritually naked, but to put on the full armor of God so that we're able to battle, to be able to stand, to be able to represent Christ. A third item would be this: pray for your teachers, your administration, and your classmates. In 2 Timothy, the Bible says this: first of all, then, I urge that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. An application would be for teachers, for principals, for those who are superintendents, for those who are over things, right? Those in high places. Pray for them, notice, that you may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. And it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So what he's saying is, be praying for your teachers, students. Pray for your teacher's salvation. Maybe you have a teacher who's a believer, but you may have a teacher who's not a believer. Pray for her or him. Pray for the principals of your school, that God, in his glory and in his power, would show them himself. The encouragement we find is in a passage like Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. Isn't that an amazing passage, right? I mean, you just have that idea of like this channel, little stream. You know how you like, you put rocks or things and you can kind of make the water go, or little mud mounds, and it makes it go different ways? Ultimately, what he's saying, your principal at your school, the Lord has that principal's heart in his hand, and he can direct it as he wills. So it should give you encouragement to pray for them. If you don't like your principal, pray for them. The Bible doesn't say just pray for those you love. It says what? Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. So if you're in a bad situation, you got a rough teacher, parents, you got a teacher you don't like for your kids, pray for them. Pray for them. Thank you, Don. And maybe they are believers. Like some of you are going to be believers, you're believers and you're going to be in schools, right? So pray for the teachers there. Pray for that they have wisdom, that they would have discernment, that they would have protection, right? Pray that God would give them grace and mercy and wisdom in how to deal with all the complications that come from being a teacher in our school systems. Teachers, what about this? What about praying for your students? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you would take home your roll book and would literally pray for each student by name? Imagine that. Imagine little Johnny, who's a troublemaker, praying for him nightly, weekly, every whatever schedule you develop, right? But praying that God would do something amazing in their life. Instead of being critical and being angry that the Lord put that kid in your class, be thankful that the Lord gives you an opportunity to pray for them. Parents, pray for your teachers, your kids' teachers. Thursday, Friday, we start getting, maybe some of your schools called earlier, but you start getting the calls, right? Hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm your teacher for your so-and-so. I don't know how it is in your world, but in my world, my wife and all her little girlfriends, they start texting each other. Who did you get? Who did you get? Who did you get? Who did you get? Do you like them? Do you like them? You know, all that kind of stuff. Any of you ever do that? Well, not texting, but you know what I mean. Some of you do that. I'm like, it doesn't matter, whatever. But for them, it's really important. And sometimes you get good teachers. Sometimes you get teachers that maybe have reputations of being scattered, disorganized, whatever the situation is. So pray with them. Pray for them. Well, how amazing would this be? And Allison and I have talked about this. Maybe some of you are farther along than we are in this. But this year, the commitment. Let's pray with our boys for their teachers by name. What about that? Instead of being quick to criticize the teacher, why don't we say, Ben, let's pray for your two fifth grade teachers that you have this year and ask that God would bless them and give them wisdom. Because what are we doing there? We're teaching him the respect, the honor, authority, which we're going to see here in a minute, and we're also teaching the value of prayer, and it's also lifting up the teacher, right? And the principal. And it's not just you praying that the teacher would show kindness to your kid, but you're praying with your kid. Pray for your teachers. They need it. Teachers, pray for your kids. They need it. Parents, pray for your kids and your teachers. They need it. They need it. Another item would be this. Submit to those in authority over you. Ugh, there's some ugly words up there. Submit in authority and over you, right? We don't like that. Romans 13, though, talks all about submitting to authority that God has placed over us. And again, it doesn't say that he's always going to put godly authorities over us. He was telling the Christians to submit and honor bad emperors. Proverbs 14:35 says this, "A servant who deals wisely has the king's favor, but his wrath falls on one who acts shamefully." Do you get what that's saying there? If you're a good student and you're not a troublemaker, the likelihood is you're going to have the teacher's favor. You're not going to be a teacher's pet, but you know what I mean. The teacher's not going to have an issue with you. The teachers, you've all had them, right? The kid who's annoying, doesn't do his homework, he doesn't sit still, whatever the issue is, right? What? It causes you to do what? To look at them differently, maybe even subconsciously you kind of treat them differently, maybe you're more harsh on them or critical because of their past performance or experience. Students, listen. Parents, tell your students this. Even if you don't like their teachers, they are called to submit to their teachers while they are in their teacher's classroom. The teacher is the authority that God has placed over them in that moment. If you don't like it, well, you have options. You can homeschool or other things. But if they're in the public school, private school, whatever, they have a teacher, that is God's authority for that moment in their life. Does that make sense? We don't like that because, well, they're not a believer. But look, many of you have employers who aren't believers that you've got to submit to, right? It's teaching our children God's truth. Students, submit to teachers. Teachers, submit to the administration. Again, you may not like them. They may not do things the way you would do. Well, okay. Pray for them. So what do you do with that? How do you submit? Well, in some ways, be diligent. in your work. In Proverbs, it talks about the ant who's really, you know, hey, you sluggard, look at the ant and how he works, right? I mean, the way that you submit to a teacher in some ways as a student is you're a good student, you're a model student, you're citizen-wise, but also your work. You try to do the right thing. You're trying to give good effort because it honors the Lord. If you sit around in class and you waste that time and you're fooling around, that's not honoring the Lord. And you're making it hard for the teacher. Be diligent in your work. Again, and I just see Jill, but I know many of you others are teachers here as well. I mean, you deal with this, right? How many times does a student come up to you? Oh, I didn't get my homework done. Oh, can I have an extension? Oh, this or that, right? How many of you always get extensions at your jobs? What if I came here today and said, maybe you already think this, but what if I came here and said, hey, you know what, we were out of town this past week and really didn't do anything, and hey, you know what, can I turn a sermon in next Sunday because I'm not ready this morning? Right? It doesn't work. Doesn't matter what I did this week, and I got to be ready. It's going to happen. Life happens, right? Doesn't matter if Katie was gone all week. She's got to go back in, got to jump right into the pharmacy stuff, right? You can't turn things in late. So students, be diligent in your work. Honor your teacher and the assignments they give you and do the right thing. Be a student who is setting the example for other students. Don't be a hard student. Think about Joseph when he was in prison, right? He didn't gripe. He didn't complain. He just worked hard. He honored the Lord. And what did the Lord do? Showed him favor everywhere he went. In prison, before Pharaoh, right? And the same thing could be true of you, submitting to those in authority. Same thing, teachers, work hard. I know you don't always want to do your lesson plans and you don't always want to do the things the teachers say or the administration, but you know they have a boss too and they're just trying to do what they're called to do, right? So don't be a thorn in their side, be an encouragement. And parents, encourage the teachers. Don't be a thorn in their sides. They already get enough of that. 5, speak life and hope to those you encounter. Tomorrow, when you show up on campus, there's going to be students who are hurting. First day of school. There's going to be teachers who are hurting. There's going to be parents and families who are hurting. There's going to be people who are depressed. There's going to be people who've been bullied or are being bullied. There's going to be people who have self-esteem problems. There's going to be people who have home problems. There's going to be people who have financial problems. There's going to be people that have marriage problems, right? Life doesn't just stop because school starts. And one of the glorious things that we have an opportunity to is if we are redeemed by Christ, we can speak life and hope and encouragement and blessing into people's lives. There's too many people that speak negativity, and I'm not trying to be one of these positive speakers, but you know what I mean? The Bible says to speak and to encourage and to bless and to use our tongues in a way that lifts up others. Every one of you in this room want to be encouraged, right? What if the first thing you get tomorrow morning when you walk in is, hey, why don't you got stuff up on your board? Hey, why were you late this morning? Right? I mean, whatever the issue is. How can we speak in such a way to honor them? And I know there's guys out there today that are talking about Robin Williams and all that stuff, and that's not where I'm going, but just think about this for a minute, right? I mean, that's a guy who's a comedian and all the while suffered depression. We don't know what's going on in people's lives. I mean, that's just a big picture point. And that teacher that you work with or that teacher that you have or that child that you have in your class, you don't know what in the world's going on in their life. But you have an opportunity to be discerning and to speak hope and blessing and encouragement and maybe be the one person that shows them love like Christ shows love. So let me challenge you with this. You think about how you speak. Students, guard what you say. Guard what you put on Facebook. Guard what you put on Twitter. Guard what you put on Instagram. Parents, know what your kids are putting on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and every other social media that you let your kids. And if you don't know, ask them. And if they say, I'm not telling you, then you be the parent. because every one of our teachers can tell you that bullying goes on in the classroom. Surely it should not be from a believer in Christ. And we know of it even in elementary schools. Fight gossip, students. Don't slander other people. That's that arrogant and pride thing. Teachers, guard how you speak about students. Guard how you speak to students. Right? They're going to be in your class, and you have the opportunity to lift them up or to crush them. You can say things. They're going to hear things from other teachers, and they're going to hear things at home. You're not very smart. You're not very good. You're not very studious. But you have an opportunity to speak life and hope into them, right? You can say things like, look, if you give a little bit more effort, and this would happen, or do this, and you can encourage them and set them on the right course, right? And so many different ways. Parents, be guarded about what you say. I heard a story this week about a parent who, when they met their child's teacher, told their teacher, yeah, my son's not the brightest bulb. What do you do with that? Well, if you're a teacher, you have an opportunity to speak life and hope into that kid because apparently he's not getting it at home. So parents, when you go on field trips, or when you act as a chaperone, or when you're an aide in the teacher's class, when you go to lunch, you have an opportunity to be a blessing, to speak life and peace and joy into people's lives. I don't know how many of you do this if you're a parent, but I go down and eat lunch with my boys from time to time, especially in kindergarten and first grade. It's hilarious, right? I mean, you sit at the table, and all these little kids, they come around at the table the best they can, right? And they just talk. And they just want somebody to talk to them, and you encourage them, and you just speak life into them. Because you never know what's going on in their home, but they may not ever hear words of encouragement. Number 6, be wise in your choice of friends. We're almost done. Be wise in your choice of friends. There's going to be a quiz at the end. Just kidding. This especially to students. Students, be careful the type of people that you associate with. Remember a couple weeks ago we said, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man another. Well, the opposite is probably accurate as well. You hang out with mud, it's going to get you dirty. That's not just me. Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So if you hang out with people that are good, honoring, doing the right thing, the likelihood is you're going to do good, right, honoring things. If you hang out with people who are making bad decisions, the likelihood is you're going to fall into bad decisions. I was joking with Tom earlier in the first service, but he says there's rarely a parent that says their kid's a bad kid. He arrests a lot of kids. And my boy, he's a good kid. He just got caught up in the what? Wrong crowd. Bad company corrupts good character. Be so guarded at the types of people that you hang with. And parents, look, you need to know generally who your kids are hanging with. If there's a character that your kid's hanging with and he's kind of like a bad apple or she's a bad apple or there's things about it, maybe you talk to your child and you say, look, what is it about this person that you're drawn to? Why is it you're interested in them? What is it you guys have in common, right? And talk about how to maybe pick better friends. Because the danger is, here's what happens, and I see it with people getting engaged and married. Well, I really don't care for the person they're dating, but, you know, what am I going to say? Well, you don't say anything, and they keep dating them, and then they marry them. Right? And then you're what? Oh, I don't know, why are they married to that person? Because you didn't speak up. You're the parent. You have an opportunity to encourage your children to pick wise friends. Make good choices. And last, let me just say this. As you go back to school, whether you're a teacher, or whether you're a student, or whether you're a parent, know that you're there for a reason. God has you in that school, not just to gain an education, but He has you there to be a light. If you are number one, you're believing in Christ, you're there to be a light. And again, whether you work at the car dealership, whether you're a doctor, wherever it is, God has you there to be on mission. Yes, you get a job. Yes, you get a salary. Yes, those types of things happen. But at the end of the day, you're making contact and touching people that I don't get to touch, right? Or that Don doesn't get to touch, or that Gina or anybody else here on staff doesn't get to touch, right? Students, we don't get to come on your campus and just hang out with students. But you do. God has you there. And if you're trusting in Christ, you have an opportunity to say, here's why I'm different. Here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm trusting in Him. Teachers, that student that you have in your class that you think, oh gosh, why did God put him in my class? He's there for a reason. Maybe it's because the Lord wants you to pray for him. And because no other teacher would pray for him. Maybe because there's going to be a conversation that happens during the course of the year, right? And he's going to share some things that are going on in his life because you've loved on him and you've encouraged him. He's going to tell you things that are going on in his home that God has you there for that, for such a time as this. You're at the right school. You're in the right classes. You're the right teacher for the moment. Know that you're there for a reason. Remember, we saw that in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll make straight your path. Lord, I don't understand why I'm in this class. I don't understand why I have this student. I don't understand why I didn't get to go to the school I wanted to go to. I don't know why I didn't get the job at the school that I wanted to get the job at. Whatever the issue is, trust and believe that God has a plan and He's working it in your life. At the beginning, I said it's one of those messages like Mother's Day, Father's Day, where I know I'm only speaking to some of the crowd. Some of you, I know tomorrow, you're going to get up and you're going to do the same things you always do, and you're not. The only thing you're going to notice about school is that there's school buses on the road and it's making you late for work. Okay? You know, do you see that sign? They're going to start road construction tomorrow right here on this road. You know, whatever. But here's what you can do. If you're a grandparent, think about this. You can pray for your grandchildren. Isn't that amazing? You may not have kids in school, but you have grandkids in school. You can pray for your grandkids' teachers. What if you did this? What if you called them tomorrow and you said, hey, little Johnny, I don't know why I'm picking Johnny, but Johnny, I'm just going to stay with him. Hey, little Johnny, how was school today? You know, I love you, and I just want to pray for you, and I want this to be a great year for you. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Tell me your teacher's name. Can I pray for your teacher this year? Can you do that as a grandparent? Sure. Or maybe you look and pick some of our students, and you pray for them. Maybe you adopt them and say, you know what? This year I'm going to pray specifically for this student. Or maybe you pick one of the teachers in our congregation and you say, you know what, this year I'm going to pray for you, Jess, because I know you got challenges in your school and you know what you're doing, and I know you got that award last year and you're giving effort and I want to pray for you, right? You can do that. You can pick people to pray for. But we are a family, and so know that God wants to use you. You can pray for our schools. There's schools all around us. Don and I went through a list of them this morning. I'm not going to repeat them. Pick a school, doesn't matter, but pray for that school. Tomorrow, as kids go back to school, pray and ask that God would clothe them with the full armor. Pray that God would clothe our teachers with the full armor, that God would use their tongues and their voices in such a way to be blessings and to praise Him and to encourage others and not to be those who cause strife and conflict and bullying and gossip and those types of things, to make the most of every opportunity, to pray for those that they're around on a daily basis and say, Lord, I know that I'm here for this reason. And like I said, all of those things that I just mentioned, you can apply to wherever it is you go to work tomorrow. But as we think about our teachers and we think about our students, we did this in the first service. If you're in any way working in the school system, college, high school, elementary, middle school, whatever, cafeteria worker, you know, crossing guard, librarian, whatever, if you would stand, and if you're a student, if you're going to school in any kind of level tomorrow, would you stand so that we can look around and we can pray for you specifically? Look, these people are going to be able to make an impact in our community in a way that many of us won't. We want to pray for you. We're thankful for your service and what you do in our schools, and we pray God's blessings upon them. So maybe right now, even if you don't have somebody, maybe you look at one of these people and you say, I'm going to pray for that person this year. Let's pray. Lord, I know Lord, what I'm trying to communicate and what you desire us to hear may not be most effective in the way I communicate it, but I'm asking, Lord, I'm asking that this year, this church would make a dramatic impact in our schools. And not just by adopting a school, but Lord, that we would be like all throughout every school that we have fingerprints on, that our teachers and that our students, that where they go, they would take the aroma of Christ. That they would represent Christ in such a way, Lord, that people would be drawn to them, that teachers would be drawn to other teachers, to our teachers, and ask them, why is it that they have a joy? That students would be drawn to our students, and that they would be able to share why it is that they're making decisions about what they're doing. Lord, in every situation, would you gird them up with power and anointing and protection against the evil one, knowing, Lord, that the evil one will seek to attack them, not wanting them to represent Christ in our schools. So, Lord, every day, would you clothe them in your power and in your protection? And Lord, would they go out in the battle fully prepared for what lies ahead? And Lord, as parents, would you lay on our heart the need to pray for our children, to pray for our schools, to pray for our teachers, to pray, Lord, that our community would be impacted for the sake of the gospel. Lord, do an amazing work this year in our schools. However we touch them, in whatever ways we do it, would you do it for Jesus' sake? Lord, we pray these things in his power and for his glory. Amen.